Bringing culture together for one big week, and cutbacks at WQPT force one event's cancellation in the cities. The cuts in public television's federal funding has already left a big mark on broadcasters like WQPT. Now one of the station's biggest events is canceled. We'll talk about that in a moment. But first, celebrating the arts in the cities. You may have never heard of the Cultural Trust, but it spent the last two decades supporting the arts in the cities. And starting August 16th, the Cultural Trust is holding its first ever Culture Bright Summer series of events. And joining us is Cultural Trust Vice Chair Melissa Pepper. So the inaugural Culture Bright Summer Series is starting on August 16th. Bluegrass on the Grass at the Botanical Center. That's just one of the events that's coming up. Explain to me the genesis of where this came from. I mean, this is your inaugural year.
We're very excited. There really is something for everyone, but we've been around for 20 years for the Cultural Trust, and we thought, how can we continue to amplify arts and culture for all in the Quad Cities? Let's give an opportunity for all six of our legacy partners to really shine and collaborate, introduce the community to something really different at each place, and celebrate that we are a place where arts and culture is thriving. So let's build upon that and invite everybody to experience it over 8 days.
Well, and when you say legacy partners, that would be?
The Figge, the Putnam, the Botanical Center, Common Cord, the Symphony, and Quad City Arts.
And like you said, they are legacy partners.
Absolutely.
Is this something that in some ways you feel that the people in the Quad Cities, you know, you visit it once, then I'm not going back. I was there once.
You gotta go back. There's always something, you know, all of the legacy partners that I just listed are constantly offering something new to the public. And so what we hope is that you'll experience a little bit of each of them by participating in the summer series and purchasing a ticket, but then you'll come back. You'll say, wow, the Bluegrass on the Grass, the Botanical Center was fantastic. I gotta bring my mom and come mm-hmm. back. Or oh my goodness, I haven't been at the Putnam since I was a kid on a field trip. There's so much to see there. Yeah. And so you bring your family back, things like that.
Is this basically a case, once again, we do take it for granted?
Because
I think once you leave the Quad City area, once you leave the area, you kind of forget, there was a special place.
I absolutely agree with that. I'm not from here, and I choose to live here and raise my mm-hmm. family here. And I think that friends in other markets really, I think they're like, wow, there's always so much going on in the Quad Cities, and the Summer Series is a great example of that.
Tell me about the Cultural Trust, too, because like you said, it's been around for 20 years, but it's kind of one of those things that you guys work behind the scenes, so I don't think people necessarily know who you are or why you are.
Oh, well, that's why we're here today.
Exactly.
Isn't that great? So we exist to fund in perpetuity these six legacy partners that I mentioned. And so we, 20 years ago, thought, gosh, how do we ensure that these are the legacies of these organizations continue for as long as we're around, right? And so we have been funding them with unrestricted dollars for so long. And so how can we continue to partner with them? And really, it's not about the Cultural Trust. I mean, of course, we want people to know who we are, and that's why we've rebranded this year, and that's why we're here today. But what we're really about is saying, wow, look at this ecosystem of arts and culture. How do we take that to the next level so that people are continuing to support these institutions, like you said, going back, continuing to support them and saying, wow, this is a great amenity in our community.
Well, and these organizations, these six in particular, as well as so many others, went through such a horrible time during the pandemic.
Absolutely.
Do you have this sense that that's over? That's completely in the rearview mirror. We've now plateaued and are building much better than we were before.
Well, I think you nailed it. Absolutely, it was a hard time for businesses, nonprofits alike. Everybody needed to rethink kind of how they offered services to their constituents or stakeholders. I don't want to be on air to say it's over.
Right, I understand that.
I'd be a little nervous to
sure.
make that claim.
But you are saying that. No, I'm not kidding.
But I would say that all of those six legacy organizations are stronger than ever.
Okay.
And we really feel proud of the work that they're doing, and how do we be that megaphone, continue to be that megaphone for them as they innovate and try new things. And the Summer Series is really a celebration of some of that.
And let's talk a little bit more, because when you're talking about the Summer Series, I mentioned the Bluegrass on the Grass at the Botanical Center. But it's not just concerts. And there's one in particular that I think is very interesting because you have a very big name coming to the Quad Cities. Fresh Films, which is based in the Quad Cities,
yes.
Creating a documentary. I got friends who work there. They do tremendous work. They have a documentary called I Am Disabled with Able in capital letters. And Marley Matlin's going to be here. So explain to me how special that is and how that fits into this series.
Yes, so we are so excited to welcome Marley Matlin to the Putnam. And so really we wanted to, you know, art, when you think of arts and culture, maybe you think of visual art or, mm-hmm. you know, artwork on the wall.
Right, sculptures.
Sculptures, things like that. But really what makes this place, this quad city is great is the diversity of offerings. And so the Putnam with science and innovation and history and, you know, bringing people together to talk about things. That's what museums do, right? They make you think and talk about different topics that maybe you're not talking about when you're at the grocery store or, you know, mowing your lawn and you see your
right.
neighbors. So bringing people together in spaces like the Putnam or the Art of the Brew at the Figgy or, you know, seeing a live show together at Common Cord, those are experiences that bring our community together in a special way. So certainly we're not only arts focused, we're really bringing community together to talk about things that matter.
And this documentary tells an amazing story. And for Marley Matlin to be here kind of just emphasizes it and underlines the importance of it.
Absolutely. And to remind all of us who think, well, oh, there maybe if you did grow up in the Quad Cities, you know, you hear like, oh, there's not always something to do here. It's like, wow, we have high caliber artists and speakers and celebrities coming to the Quad Cities to be with all of us. I mean, they're making a stop here. That means something. That really does showcase that we are a place that is a leader in arts and culture.
I think it was interesting because you also described the Cultural Trust as an organization that strengthens the community's cultural ecosystem. Because it's not just one thing. It really is trying to make, I would say, the Quad Cities a more cosmopolitan area.
Yeah, you know, I think that the ecosystem is, it's one thing to go to the symphony. Absolutely fantastic. We'll hope that you'll do that. But when you see that, like, for example, that the dinosaur that the Putnam mm-hmm. is unearthing is part of the theme that the symphony, when they played the music for Jurassic Park, you know,
right.
then you're like, wow, look at how it's all sort of tied together in a really neat way. And that's just one example. The legacy partners are collaborating all the time to support one another. And I think that really does lift us all up. And it doesn't feel so it's not supposed to be competitive. It's supposed
right.
to be a collaborative
spirit.
Well,
and the other fear, that, of course, is competition between them, and you want to avoid that. And also, I think a lot of times, like all of us, you get into your own little pod, and you don't think of it as a cultural ecosystem. And that's kind of where you come in, is try to break some of those barriers and make sure everyone is working together?
Well, it's kind of like a tapestry, you know,
sure.
you're threading them all together. And I think that does lift everyone up. And it helps you, you know, the point of art is to expose you to something that maybe you never expected before. And so what a neat thing to weave threads amongst the six legacy partners to, wow, that's really going to achieve the goal of art and culture, which is to open your mind. And, you know, I might not always want to listen to a certain type of music or see a kind of art, but I will because it will open my mind and expose me to something that maybe I never thought of before.
Before we started recording the program, I was asking you in regards to the key target that you have, whether it is people who live here and trying to get them to come back to some of these or come to these places for the very first time that they drive by every single day, or is it for the new visitor to say, hey, we're the Quad Cities, look at what you've got, or is it to the new prospective person who might think of moving to the Quad Cities who's going to say, oh, wow, this is a lot of opportunities? You're kind of saying it's a melding of all three. I know you're going to say that, but it really is important to have that local, the people who already live here, that local support day in and day out.
Absolutely. So I was just going to answer yes.
I need a longer answer, and that's why I jumped in.
Okay, fine. So yes, we would absolutely love to see all three of what you just described enjoying the 8 days of the summer series. And those of us who do call the Quad Cities home, we want you to come back. Come back when there's not something special going on and experience the beauty of an exhibit at the Figge or the Putnam, you know, in one of their new exhibits or something like that.
You said that you've rebranded. This is the first year, the inaugural year of the summer series. What do you have planned after this?
Oh, well, winter is coming.
Absolutely.
I hate to bring it up.
That's true.
So we are excited to continue to amplify the ecosystem with our winter offering of events. And so expect to see more about what that will look like in the coming months.
Because the winter is one of those things that we're all kind of hunkering down and hibernating. Is it an attempt to get people out and make sure that these venues are visited?
Well, absolutely. I mean, have you ever been to Winter Nights, Winter Lights at the Botanical mm-hmm. Center? What a fantastic way to bring people. You know, you think, well, I'm not going to go to a botanical center in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. What would I see there? And wow, has the team really knocked it out of the park, pun intended, when it comes to really activating that space in the wintertime. So that would be an example of bringing, you know, expanding the audience, people who may not think of the Botanical Center to go, wow, you know, that gives me some holiday cheer. I think I'll head over to Rock Island and check it out.
Well, once again, you can try to make this the most inclusive creative capital in the Midwest. That's on your website.
Yes.
Is that really possible? Because there's some pretty amazing cities in the Midwest.
Oh my goodness. Well, you know, I think that in order for any organization to achieve its goals, it has to have a big vision. And so I will say that, yes, it's absolutely achievable.
Once again, the Culture Bright Summer Series starting August 16th. Bluegrass on the Grass at the Botanical Center. A number of other events going on at all of the locations. And if you want more information, how do you get it?
Culturebright.org for tickets.
So easy.
Thanks
so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Our thanks to the Cultural Trust Vice Chair Melissa Pepper. And once again, Culture Bright events start August 16th with Bluegrass on the Grass at the Quad City Botanical Center. You can check out the full schedule at culturebright.org. Just ahead, a tough decision by WQPT. But first, winding down summer with some great events in the cities. Let's look at what's on tap thanks to Visit Quad Cities.
Check out the things to do this week in the Quad Cities. Start your week off by attending a screening of I Am Disabled, followed by a keynote by Marley Matlin. Next, enjoy signature cocktails, unique merchandise, and a welcoming environment during Fridays at the Hallberg. Then spend your afternoon picking your own flowers, walking through a lavender field, kayaking, and so much more at Dandy Flowers. Next, the Pops concert will be celebrating the music of The Who. Stick around after the performance for a fireworks show. Finally, grab a seat at Circa 21 Dinner Playhouse and enjoy The Wizard of Oz as it takes the stage. For more events like these, check out our events calendar at visitquadcities.com.
For years, WQPT is engaged in celebrating children with our annual Imagination Station. But this year's event is canceled due to the cuts in federal funding that's impacted every aspect of the station's operations. Educational Outreach Director Melissa Gravert sat down with us to talk about the impact. Well, it's sad news that Imagination Station would have to be canceled. Yeah. What does that mean? Let's just start with that. I mean,
sure.
for the families of the Quad Cities, that it's been a tradition every year.
It has been for many, many years, for many families, for generations almost.
Sure.
Right? We had to make a tough decision based on cuts to our federal funding that we would have received. About 53% of our budget is what we lost when that federal funding was cut. And so we had to look at all of our programs, right? All of our outreach, all of the things that we do here in the community and make some tough decisions. And because Imagination Station does take a good portion of our budget, both time and energy and financial costs, we just had to decide what's going to be best for us to be able to sustain ourselves for the next few years at least. And so, yes, we had to make that tough decision. And you know, we talked amongst ourselves as a staff. We talked to community members, including our community advisory board members, to help us make the best decision with what we have right now.
Well, for those who aren't familiar with it, Imagination Station, wasn't it at one point twice a year?
It's been different iterations
yeah,
over many
exactly,
years.
Right.
Yep. Most recently, it would have been a one-day event
exactly.
Where we had it split up where, because of capacity, mm-hmm. We'd have two different sessions.
A morning and an afternoon mm-hmm. session, mm-hmm. right.
No matter what iteration it was in, it was always a free community event. And so families could register and then attend. We took a break during COVID for a few years, but then brought it back just a few years ago. And so, yes, it's been a beloved part of our community outreach for many years.
And it was educational outreach mm-hmm. for some of the youngest kids
yes.
in our community. What is lost by the cancellation?
You know, that experience of being there and interacting with costume characters mm-hmm. and doing activities, like you said, especially for young learners that would help them build some of their reading and math and social emotional skills. You know, there's a loss of that experience, right? The good news is we're going to be able to continue offering instead of one huge event, right? Our plan is to offer quarterly, four times a year, smaller events in the spirit of Imagination Station, right? And so that might be a smaller number of costume characters and then activities that go with that particular program. So we're going to continue offering our outreach programs like Imagination Station, just on a smaller scale.
So we're talking about cutbacks in the cancellation of Imagination Station. Does that allow other parts of the outreach program at WQPT to continue or even thrive? I mean, was there in your thinking of canceling it, is that we could keep Imagination Station, but we'd have to cut all these other things?
Exactly, yes, because it is such a huge project. If we were to continue doing it, for example, then things like our first book donation program, which puts us in classrooms weekly once the school year starts, giving books to students to build their home libraries, that the ability to do programs like that, we would have to cut back drastically in order to keep big, big, big events. So the good news is we are able to continue doing things like First Book, where, in just a few weeks, I'll be in preschool classrooms and elementary school classrooms and middle school classrooms, sharing books with students, talking to them about PBS Kids, giving them resources to use in the classroom and at home. So thankfully, that program continues.
Because I think a lot of people might not understand that when it comes to public broadcasting and the public television station in the Quad Cities, mm-hmm. is that there is the broadcast. But
right.
but we're more than Masterpiece Theater.
Right.
You know, it there's this outreach,
mm-hmm.
and you're in charge of the outreach. Explain to me a little bit more about what your goal is, and who mm-hmm. do you reach, and how do you do it?
Sure. So we look at it really kind of through a school year. Let's say we're able to do, like I mentioned, First Book classroom
right.
visits. So that's a regular
that
weekly thing.
Mm-hmm.
Most classrooms I visit 3 or 4 times a year. So I get to build those relationships with those teachers and students throughout the year. We also do other kind of one-time events like our multilingual education conference, which happens in the spring. We're planning to do that again this year, which is just another side of the the programming that we're able to offer to support teachers, which then of course supports students and families. We just are wrapping up our Summer of Adventure mm-hmm. events. That's another big project that we're able to continue, where I visited, at least 30, I want to say, libraries and other like summer school programs and things like that in our community. So just continuing to keep those interactions with families all throughout the year and into the summer.
Because most of the outreach is children, is it not?
Mm-hmm. Most of the time. We also do, last fall we did a big series of events for our America 250, America right. Revolution screening, which is, of course, for, high school and then adults. So there are sometimes events that kind of are outside that K-12 band of programs, but yes, primarily children.
You're bringing up the fact that the loss of federal funding, about 53%
mm-hmm.
of WQPT's funding is from federal, that's been cut.
Mm-hmm.
How else has it impacted the station? I mean, when you lose half of your funding, it would be very difficult to go on.
Right. We have now have a strong but mighty and small but mighty, excuse me,
and even
staff
smaller,
of five.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. So we were a staff of eight, now we're a staff of five. So, you know, some cuts were made there and had to kind of rearrange some things and
a lot of that was
and,
through retirements,
right.
and through just not filling some job positions.
Correct. Yeah.
So that's the good news is nobody lost their job, so to speak.
Correct. Correct.
But some people did retire in order to save their programs,
right.
which was really tremendous on their part. But how else has it impacted?
So we just are being even more strategic with how we spend our time and our money, right? We are planning this fall to start we were able to get some funding to bring in a person that specializes in strategic planning specifically for PBS and public media. So we're gonna have an expert come in and really help us set some goals. Of course, we already have set our own goals and things like that as a station, but really having someone that knows the landscape and knows the challenges that are being faced right now and help us really be, again, strategic with our time and our money.
Is there optimism still as
Absolutely.
Far as, okay, well, then tell me a little bit about that, because
I mean,
this has been a huge blow,
right.
and I think we don't really know how the chips have landed yet.
Right. I think we've had to kind of reframe and rethink what we do and how we handle those setbacks. And yeah, it has been, you know, very challenging. You know, we were at events over the weekend and folks were talking to us about hearing the cancellation announcement and their disappointment. But then that was often followed by, you know, we love what PBS does and we love WQBT and we want to encourage you. And so the community has really stepped up to help support us both with those kind words and encouragement, but also financially when they can.
Well, and let's talk about the optimism of the coming year, because as you said, getting books into schools is one of your biggest jobs, and the school year is right upon us.
It is,
So tell me about the book program, how people can help, and who you're reaching.
So we serve through that First Book program really communities right here in the Quad Cities, both on the Iowa and the Illinois side, and then out into some of our other viewing areas, like Geneseo, for example. I have a new brand new teacher that is inviting me to her classroom this year. But yes, it's a lot of schools and classrooms that, you know, those students might not otherwise have the ability to get books to have at home. So we call those, you know, low income or Title I schools and classrooms. But yes, so that program serves preschool. So I get to go and interact with a lot of littles as well as a lot of elementary students where, you know, I'll go and visit, you know, a kindergarten classroom and we read the same book together. Everyone gets the same book and they get to take that home. And then often I visit upper elementary classes where I take a variety of books and they get to choose their own book, really see themselves as readers, right? And pick out books to take home and keep. So that program serves a wide range. In fact, I just met with a program that serves high school students that are working on getting their GED and things like that in a special program, and they're building a library to help those kids with literacy as well.
And it really underlines how important outreach is. I mean, it's the core of what you do, of course. How much satisfaction is there for you in regards to reaching out, as you said, the littles that you get to talk to, and also, as you pointed out, getting books into the hands of kids who might otherwise not be able to have them?
Right. I mean, I say all the time how lucky I am to have this job because it really is a great fit for me personally because I love interacting with schools and teachers and families and students. But it really is so special what we're able to do to support in real practical ways, like you said, like the First Book program or I mentioned earlier the Multilingual Education Conference, you know, offering professional development to teachers that really meets their needs and helps their students.
And Imagination Station may have been canceled, but it doesn't mean that it's the end of the outreach.
Correct, right. And again, we talked earlier about how these smaller events will still be happening. Look for that information coming out very soon about our first event that's happening this fall. Again, it's kind of in the spirit of Imagination Station, right? With your favorite PBS Kids characters and activities and really building community.
Our thanks to WQPT Educational Outreach Director, Melissa Gravert. on the air, on the radio, on the web, on your mobile device, and streaming on your computer. Thanks for taking some time to join us as we talk about the issues on the cities.